Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Got drugs? Especially prescription drugs that you or your family members are no longer using or perhaps are outdated. Well, let's get rid of them. But wait. Do it legally, safely, and in a way that won't hurt the environment. Wherever you are in America, this Sunday, April 27th, you can participate in the National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. Just Google Take Back Drugs in the name of your city, and you'll find a proper disposal site in your community. Our next guest, pharmacist Dr. Amy Tymeyer, assistant professor and director of professional affairs at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy, has more information plus strategies for avoiding abuse of prescription medications, especially by teenagers. Dr. Tymeyer, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
My understanding is that the last time the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, had a similar prescription drug take-back day, they collected just under a 500,000 pounds of drugs at 5,200 sites. Those are a lot of drugs that otherwise would have gone, oh, I'm afraid to ask what elsewhere it would be.
Yeah, they did collect quite a bit. Every time they do this event, which is usually twice a year, they get more and more every time. I think before we would have seen a number of different things. People might have flushed it down the toilet.
Oh, no, don't do that, folks.
Yeah, right, don't do that. They might have just thrown it in the trash, which is also a terrible
idea. No, don't do that, and don't wrap it in kitty litter and think you're doing the right thing. That's not going to work
either. Yeah, or they just would have left it in their closets, in their medicine cabinets, just in case.
Well, that's probably not a good idea either, because a lot of people, especially at parties or people you may not even know, may have access to the medicine cabinet. First of all, let's talk about the take-back program and why the DEA has come to this conclusion that this is really a good idea. Because frankly, for a while, and these are my words, the DEA was an obstacle to people other than individuals who had the prescription taking drugs back to a police station, to a drugstore, or another collection site. What has changed?
Well, I think, you know, the DEA was starting to see this national epidemic. So we started to realize...
National epidemic of what?
Well, people starting to take prescription medications, especially narcotics, pain medications, and then once their habit got too expensive to maintain, they switched to a cheaper alternative, which we all know is heroin. And so when we started tracing back where we were seeing, why we were seeing these increases in heroin and illicit drug abuse, we could trace it back to prescription medications.
So are you suggesting or simply saying that prescription drugs often become a gateway to stronger and perhaps illegal drugs?
Absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. And so I think the DEA started thinking, you know, instead of trying to manage this after it happens, what can we do to be more preventative about this?
I know they're very proactive and have decided, and again, these are my words, to become part of the solution instead of perpetuating the problem. Let's talk about what you're doing in St. Louis to establish permanent medication collection boxes in police stations. What a neat idea.
Yeah, this is really great. So we have, I've been part of a group for a number of years who was really trying to figure out a more permanent, consistent solution to being able to, for people to drop off their unused and unwanted medications. The DEA take-backs are twice a year, but, you know, 6 months is a long time to have a medication sitting around in your medicine cabinet waiting to get rid of it, and a lot of things can happen in that time.
There are also issues, for example, like leftover Schedule II meds, as you say, pain meds or opiates, in a hospice situation, typically, where an individual dies and there's just lots of stuff left over. You know, you can't wait 2 years or 1 year until the next DEA collection day. So what do you do with those?
Because the medications need to go to law enforcement, based on the ways that the laws are currently written, we have worked
that.
In St. Louis County. There is a non-for-profit called Missouri P2D2, Missouri Prescription Pill and Drug Disposal Program. We have put permanent drop boxes, think something kind of like a retrofitted mailbox kind of thing.
Nailed to the floor, by the way.
Yep, nailed to the floor, locked and secured multiple times over. And we put these in the lobbies of police stations that are open 24/7.
Well, let's remind people where they can learn more about National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, simply go to Google and type in Take Back Drugs and the name of your city. I typed in Take Back Drugs in San Francisco. My gosh, an entire list came up, although some of the disposal sites will not accept Schedule 2 drugs. However, there are alternatives. The other thing I'd like to talk to you about is abuse in general. You said if patients are concerned about medications falling into the wrong hands, lock it in a drawer or keep it with you at all times. Why do you recommend that?
Well, you know, if there's so many reasons, and, you know, let's say you have teenage children, and maybe you trust your children, but you may not necessarily know everything about their friends that may be coming into the house. And let's say they go use the bathroom, they very easily
right.
could look through your medicine cabinet. I've also heard stories about people who will go to open houses under the guise of looking at the house with the interest of buying it, but really all they're doing is going to look through people's medicine cabinets to steal their narcotics. Family members, friends, you know, unless you don't ever have anybody in your house, you know, it's just probably a wise idea to either, again, keep it with you or keep it close to you or lock it up.
Our guest is Dr. Amy Tiemeyer, Assistant Professor and Director of Professional Affairs at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy. You also discuss the importance of spring cleaning for your medicine cabinet. What's that all about?
Well, you know, I am a pharmacist, but I am also a mother, and I can tell you from personal experience that even though I am a pharmacist, every time I clean out my medicine cabinet, I'm amazed at how many things I have that have expired. And I think that's maybe just the nature of some of the short-term things that we need. So we have just come off a fairly nasty cold and flu season. And so, you know, there are things that we may have that may be expiring or from the previous cold and flu season that are now expired. Pain medications, many times it's cheaper to buy those in large quantities, and we end up not using very many of them, so those expire. So my guess is that most people have things in their medicine cabinets that they're no longer using.
Also, you discuss how to keep children safe. Quote, just letting family members know how easy it is for children to get into medicines, whether they have child safety caps or not, is important. Can you expand on that?
So I think we think, well, you know, there's child safety caps on there, and it's hard for us to get into, and so certainly children probably can't get into them. But those safety caps were designed such that it only prevents children from getting into them by about 10 minutes. And for anybody who has kids out there, you will know that they are incredibly persistent and determined. And many medicine bottles, I mean, it's like a maraca to them. I mean, it makes noise. It's very appealing. They're going to play with it. They're going to try and figure out how to get out what's inside.
Right. And finally, you should never, ever flush medications down the drain, throw them in the trash, or heaven forbid, as I have read, sprinkle them on the front lawn to get rid of them. This is not a good idea because invariably those drugs will go into the public waterways and have serious environmental impacts on both wildlife and humans.
Correct. I think the ones that we are most concerned about right now that we're starting to see effects with are things like hormones that people are taking or antibiotics.
Birth control pills with estrogens,
right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And antibiotics, where, you know, we've got huge amounts of antibiotic resistance, and this is only adding to the problem. Those are the big ones that we're starting to see are already affecting our wildlife. You know, we've seen changes in frogs and fish, and just your basic science ecology that, you know, if it's affecting one part of the food chain, that eventually left unchecked, it will affect all parts of the food chain. And, we're that final step in that food chain. So I think being attentive to those things and trying to figure out ways, there's lots of people working on this. There's people who are trying to figure out how to use natural elements to try and absorb or take care of these things in the waterways, but I think we all need to be looking at how we can do some prevention, not just treatment.
Our guest has been pharmacist Dr. Amy Tiemeyer, Assistant Professor and Director of Professional Affairs at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy. Dr. Tiemeyer, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language. Now, did I finally pronounce it correctly?
Yes, you did.